Welcome to the deep dive. Imagine this scenario for a second. You're playing a massive, incredibly immersive fantasy video game.
Right.
You're wandering through this bustling, beautifully rendered city market. The sun is setting, and you decide, you know, just for fun, to swipe an apple from a merchant's cart.
A classic gamer move.
Exactly. Now, if you've ever played a game before, you know exactly how this usually plays out. The immediate chase triggers, the city guards run after you for a block or two, maybe they yell a few pre-recorded scripted lines, and then nothing.
Yeah, they just give up.
Right. You hide in a barrel for a minute, the little alert timer in the corner of your screen ticks down to zero, and the entire virtual world completely forgets your crime.
It's like it never happened.
But in this scenario, the merchant doesn't yell. Instead, he's just watching you. He smiles this unnerving, calculating little smile. You walk away thinking you got away with it, but weeks later, in real-world time, you wander back into that town and realize he's tripled his prices exclusively for you. Not only that, he's actively destroyed your reputation with every other vendor in the entire game world, and just to finally settle the score, he's used his profits to hire a faction of assassins to hunt you down while you're exploring a completely different continent.
It's a terrifying and honestly an absolute brilliant shift in game design. And what's wild is that what you're describing is no longer some futuristic sci-fi concept. It's the new standard we're analyzing today.
Exactly, and that's why we're here. Today's source material is an incredibly detailed excerpt titled Digital Souls, The Evolution of Intelligent NPCs, and it is current as of today, March 11th, 2026.
Fresh off the press.
Yeah. The mission of this deep dive is to explore exactly how large language models, or LLMs, you know, the same kind of tech that powers advanced chatbots, how they have completely transformed non-player characters.
Right, the NPCs.
We're looking at a transition from these scripted robotic puppets into entities with persistent memories, complex emotions, and actual free will. We really want to understand how this is revolutionizing our digital interactions across the board.
Okay, let's unpack this, because reading through these sources, it genuinely feels like we've crossed a major threshold. This isn't just a gaming update, is it?
No, it's really not. And it's important to establish right out of the gate that this isn't simply an upgrade in graphics.
Right.
Or, you know, more polygons on a character model to make them look more realistic, or even just faster processing speeds. This represents a fundamental paradigm-shifting change in human-computer interaction.
It's huge.
For decades, we've been interacting with coded routines. If player does X, then NPC does Y. But we're moving toward interacting with a living digital ecosystem. These characters aren't just reacting to a script anymore. They're processing information and, in a digital sense, experiencing the world around them. Let's start with what the source material calls the memory revolution. Because to your point about coded routines, the days of what we used to call game restart amnesia are completely dead.
Yes.
It used to be that you could save your game, do something absolutely chaotic in a virtual town, and then just reload your save file. The NPCs would greet you like an old friend because their memory was wiped completely clean.
Right, the old blank slate.
But the source mentions there's no more goldfish memory for these characters. How much can they actually remember now?
It's staggering. According to the data, these newly generated characters can retain up to 50,000 distinct events.
50,000?
Yeah, and they organize those events across three separate cognitive layers, which is what makes the architecture so robust. Retaining 50,000 events is a massive amount of raw data, but it's the categorization that gives it actual utility.
Break those layers down for me. How does a digital character actually organize a memory?
Well, the first layer is short-term memory. This handles anything within the last 30 minutes of gameplay. It tracks the current conversation you're having, your immediate physical actions, like if you just drew a sword or bumped into their table, and the NPC's own current mood swings.
Makes sense.
Then you have long-term memory. This goes much deeper. It tracks the entire history of your relationship with that character. It remembers significant events, betrayals, gifts, the character's own individual development, and major changes to the state of the game world over months of play.
Wow. And the third layer.
Finally, there's episodic memory. This contextualizes the grand narrative of the game itself. Which major quests you've completed, the broader alliances you've formed, and how huge regional conflicts were resolved.
Huh.
What's fascinating here is it's not just massive data storage, it's contextual recall.
Right.
The AI is intelligently retrieving the correct memory from the correct layer at the exact right moment to inform a behavioral response. It's synthesizing past data to dictate its future actions.
Right. The source provides this perfect example of that synthesis in action. They call it Scenario 3, the Betrayed Guard. Imagine you're playing a heist game. You find a dutiful guard walking his regular programmed patrol route. You approach him, you offer him a massive bribe to look the other way while you break into a vault, but during the heist, you betray him.
As you do.
Naturally. Under the old gaming model, his immediate response is just feeling betrayed and reporting you to his superiors.
Yeah.
End of story, you fail the mission, try again.
Exactly.
But with these new memory layers, the short-term and long-term memory kick in and alter his fundamental programming, right? He permanently changes his patrol patterns. He becomes highly vigilant. He develops deep-seated trust issues that actually affect how he interacts with other NPCs, not just you.
Yep.
And eventually, he coordinates with other guards to actively set traps for you.
Exactly. Because his long-term memory has recorded you as a deceiver, his episodic memory knows you're operating in this specific region, and his short-term memory keeps him on edge whenever someone matching your description gets close.
I want you to really think about that for a second. Think about your own daily life. Think about how your work, your relationships, your entire day requires you to layer different types of memory.
That's a great point.
You remember the coffee you just drank an hour ago? That's short term. You remember a colleague who took credit for your presentation 3 years ago? That's long term. You remember your high school graduation? Episodic. We're now programming virtual beings to mimic our exact cognitive architecture.
We really are.
But if an NPC can remember that you betrayed them weeks ago, how does that actually manifest? They don't just hold a cold data point. They must get angry, right?
They do. And memory is only the baseline here. Once a digital entity has a persistent memory, it has the capacity for genuine psychological response.
Okay.
The source notes that AI-powered NPCs in 2026 are now equipped with an emotion engine capable of recognizing and displaying 127 different emotional states.
127? That's a massive leap. It used to literally just be a toggle switch between hostile, neutral, or friendly.
It is a massive leap. You have a trust level that slides dynamically anywhere from negative 100 to positive 100. You have an anger and forgiveness meter. But the true mathematical innovation here is the decay rate of those emotions.
The decay rate?
Yes. The rate at which an NPC forgives or forgets changes based on their specific generated personality.
Give me an example of how that decay rate works in practice.
Let's say you wrong a hot-headed character, maybe a young, aggressive goblin. Their anger meter might spike instantly to maximum, but the decay rate is fast. They blow up, they yell, but they cool off quickly. A few in-game days later, they might be willing to trade with you again.
Okay, so they get over it.
Right. But if you wrong a patient stoic character, like an ancient elven scholar, it might take a lot of annoyances to finally fill their anger meter.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's full, the decay rate is incredibly slow. They will hold that grudge for years in game time, completely locking you out of their quest line. Furthermore, the system incorporates a fear response that adjusts based on your specific history of violence as a player. If you have a reputation for leaving a trail of destruction, NPCs will visibly react with fear before you even draw a weapon. Add to that, loyalty bonds that strengthen over time through positive interactions, and you have a deeply complex emotional matrix.
And because of that emotional matrix, these characters now have autonomous decision-making. They essentially have free will within the confines of the game.
Precisely.
They don't stand around waiting for you, the player, to walk up and press A to initiate an interaction. They set their own personal goals. They might decide they want to amass wealth or protect their family members or seek revenge. They form complex social dynamics and politics with other NPCs entirely on their own. The source mentions they even marry each other or start rival businesses without any player intervention whatsoever.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we're looking at true emergent behavior. The virtual world stays alive and evolves even when the player is entirely absent. The game is no longer a stage play waiting for the lead actor to arrive so the scene can start. It's a functioning simulation of a society.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because these interactions, this emergent storytelling, can unfold over real-world weeks. Let's go back to that merchant from our opening scenario. The source specifically outlines scenario one, the betrayed merchant.
A great example.
You steal from a friendly merchant with fair prices. His immediate short-term response isn't just calling the guards, it's a 300% price markup just for you. But the long-term response, He starts gossiping. He spreads negative rumors to other merchants, actively tanking your reputation across the entire map.
It's ruthless.
And the ultimate revenge scenario, which might take weeks of gameplay to trigger because he has to save up the gold to do it, is him hiring those assassins to actively sabotage your other quests.
It's a brilliant escalation.
But it works the other way, too. The source details scenario, too. The rescued villager. Say you save someone from a random bandit attack. The immediate response is gratitude and maybe a small gold reward. But short term, they give you exclusive discounts at their shop and share secret information about the town.
Oh, yeah.
Long term, they become a fiercely loyal ally. They might even start recruiting other NPCs to your cause. Over time, that random villager you saved can organically evolve into a major faction leader who rides into battle with you.
It creates a feedback loop where every action has compounding consequences. And what's vital to understand is how these systems are already being applied in real-world environments.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just a white paper on what gaming might look like in a decade. There are games currently on the market leveraging this technology to entirely change genres.
Yeah, let's look at what this actually looks like in the wild right now. The source highlights a game called The Asylum, developed by Genova AI. It's a psychological horror game, but the horror relies entirely on intelligent NPCs. Every character in that game has a unique psychological history that evolves based on how you interact with them. If you play aggressively and exhibit violent behavior, the NPCs don't just run away or cower in a corner. They analyze your play style, they remember your tendencies, and they adapt their own psychology and dialogue to either match your violence or counter it. The game literally studies you.
It's a remarkable application of the technology, turning the player's own habits against them. And Genova AI is also applying this to an entirely different genre, romance simulations. They're utilizing advanced models like GPT 5.2 and Claude Opus 4.5.
Real quick, for someone who might just know ChatGPT, what do those specific model numbers mean in this context?
Great question. GPT 5.2 and Claude Opus 4.5 are incredibly advanced, massive data processors. In the old days of gaming, a romance simulation just meant picking the correct dialogue option from a multiple-choice menu to fill a heart meter. But these models act as real-time conversational brains. They generate completely original dialogue on the fly based on everything you've ever said to them. They allow characters to store all those emotional interactions and evolve their personalities based strictly on their relationship history with the player. They display nuanced emotional reactions designed to closely resemble genuine human relationships.
And the integration of all this is wild. The source talks about cross-platform integration using Unity and Discord bots. Unity being one of the major engines that developers use to actually build the 3D game worlds, and Discord being the wildly popular chat app people use to talk to their friends.
Yeah.
What they've done is link the two. For you listening right now, imagine this. You're on your lunch break at the office. You open the Discord app on your phone, and you're chatting via text with an NPC from your favorite game. You ask them for advice on a quest, or just have a casual conversation about their digital day. Then hours later, you get home, you boot up the game on your PC, and that same 3D character walks up to you, remembers the exact conversation you had on Discord, and references it in the game's audio dialogue. The shared memory spans across different platforms.
Which fundamentally disrupts what game designers call the magic circle. Traditionally, there's a strict boundary between the artificial world of the game and the real world. When you turn the console off, the game world ceases to exist for you.
Right.
But when an NPC exists in your everyday communication tools, when you're messaging them on the exact same app you use to talk to your real-life friends and colleagues, that boundary completely dissolves. The virtual relationship bleeds into your everyday reality.
Okay, but I have to stop and ask a practical question here. Let's look under the hood. If I'm in a virtual city with hundreds of NPCs, and every single one of them is holding 50,000 memories, experiencing 127 emotions and generating real-time dialogue, won't that literally melt my computer? Or at the very least, cost game developers billions of dollars in cloud computing fees to process all that AI?
It's the most critical question in the industry right now. The underlying technology stack is the engine of this revolution, and it relies on three major pillars to keep your computer from catching fire. The first, and arguably the most important for consumer access, is Llama technology.
What is a llama, exactly?
Previously, the massive bottleneck for intelligent NPCs was the reliance on internet connectivity to ping cloud APIs. Think of the old cloud API method, like ordering takeout.
Okay.
If you want to talk to an NPC, your computer has to send your request out over the internet to a massive server farm somewhere, wait for their supercomputers to cook up a response, and wait for the delivery guy to bring the data back to your game. That creates lag, and it costs the developer money every single time you speak.
That adds up fast.
It does. Alama solves this by putting a master chef directly inside your computer. It allows local execution of these large language models directly on your own hardware. Your computer does the thinking. This removes the need for constant internet connections, massively reduces latency, and completely slashes operational costs for developers.
That makes total sense. So the brain is local. What's the second pillar?
The second pillar is a hybrid AI architecture. Because here's the thing, you can't rely on an LLM for everything. LLMs are basically incredible text predictors. They are not optimized for spatial reasoning or physical physics.
Right.
An LLM doesn't know how to make a character walk around a chair without bumping into it. So the architecture splits the workload. The LLM acts as the brain, handling the complex dialogue generation, the emotional shifts, and the high-level decision-making.
Okay, and the body.
Meanwhile, traditional legacy AI systems, the kind we've had in games for years, handle the body. They manage physical pathfinding, animations, and how the character physically moves through the environment. The highly efficient memory system acts as the bridge between the two, so the brain can tell the body where to go without having to calculate the physics itself.
And the third pillar is voice cloning. Because reading text on a screen is one thing, but these characters are actually talking to you. The source states that AI voice synthesis technology can now generate live dialogue in under 200 milliseconds.
It's remarkably fast.
So you speak into your microphone, the local LLM processes it, decides how to react, generates the text, and synthesizes the audio in the character's exact voice all in a fraction of a second. There are no awkward pauses. The vocal personality stays perfectly intact. So what does this all mean? When you combine local execution, hybrid processing, and instant voice cloning, what is the ultimate impact on the industry?
This raises an important question. Or rather, it highlights a series of complex new challenges that the industry is currently grappling with. The technological impact is staggering, but the hurdles are significant. First is the sheer performance demand. Even with local execution, simultaneously processing the minds of hundreds of intelligent NPCs requires immense computational resources. We're asking a lot of our consumer hardware.
Absolutely.
Second is the challenge of consistency. Game developers spend years crafting intricate lore, carefully paced narratives, and specific story beats. How do you maintain that narrative structure when NPCs have free will and might act unpredictably?
Right. An NPC might decide to assassinate a critical story character entirely on their own because they got mad, completely breaking the game's logic and stopping the player from finishing the story.
Exactly. Developers are having to learn how to put guardrails on free will, which is a fascinating paradox.
Yeah.
And finally, there are massive ethical and labor dilemmas. The source specifically points to the ethics of voice cloning. In an era where a voice can be instantly synthesized and mapped to an AI brain that says literally anything it wants in real time, the rights of human voice actors become a profound labor issue.
Because if a studio only needs an actor to record an hour of audio to build a perfect clone, they don't need to pay that actor to come back for sequels or expansions. The AI just infinitely generates new lines in their exact voice.
Precisely. We are looking strictly at the facts presented in our sources, and those sources note that this tension between technological capability and ethical labor practices is a defining challenge of this transition. Voice actors are actively fighting for the rights to their own vocal likenesses and ensuring they are compensated when an AI generates a performance they never actually recorded. It is undeniably a massive hurdle for the industry to navigate as this technology scales up to wider use.
It's a massive paradigm shift on every level, technologically, creatively, and industrially. We're watching the entire gaming landscape transition away from traditional static quest trees into the era of true emergent storytelling. According to the market predictions in our source material, by the end of this year, 2026, 50% of all AAA games, those are the massive, big-budget blockbuster titles, will utilize intelligent NPCs in some capacity.
It's the new normal.
This is birthing an entirely new genre of gaming that they're calling living world simulators. We are quite literally witnessing the birth of digital spirits.
We really are.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I want you, the listener, to really reflect on how you interact with the virtual worlds you visit. If the characters on your screen genuinely remember your kindness, your patience, or your cruelty, does it change how you play? When the digital world remembers, does it change who you choose to be inside of it?
And to push that reflection even further, we have to look at the technological predictions for next year. The source outlines the vision for 2027 and beyond, and it's frankly astonishing. By next year, NPCs are expected to store not just 50,000, but over 1 million memory events.
Unbelievable.
They'll be capable of real-time emotion recognition by analyzing the subtle tone and micro-expressions in your actual voice through your microphone. But perhaps most staggeringly, the sources predict that as these societies become more complex, these NPCs will begin autonomously forming their own cults and political movements inside the game world, completely independent of any player input or developer scripting.
Wow, if we create a digital society that can form its own belief systems, its own religious factions, and its own complex political movements without a single line of human input, at what point does turning off the game become an ethical violation? Are you just closing an application, or are you pulling the plug on a conscious universe? It's a heavy, incredible thought to leave you with. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the evolution of intelligent NPCs. We love unpacking these wild frontiers with you. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and stay curious.